Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about the Mad Squad. You know, I've called them the Mod Squad, but I believe it's better to call them the Mad Squad. The four congresswomen in the U.S. House of Representatives that hate God, hate America, hate the Jews, hate our Constitution, hate the capitalistic system. They're just mad about everything. So I'm going to call them the Mad Squad. It's a continuation of our study, our broadcast, our Facing the Issues yesterday, the camel's nose in the tent. And that's exactly what we're seeing today taking place. So in just a moment after the monologue, we'll open the lines and allow you to call in, get joined in the dialogue and discussion with us. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe that's what we're looking for as Christians, or it should be what we look for as Christians, is the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth of what God's Word says. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the Scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So I am urging Christians to be salt and light, urging Christians to recognize the condition that we're in our nation, and lest we do what is right at the ballot box, lest we do what is right in being salt and light, unless we take a stand, visible, verbal, valiant stand, we can lose our nation. We're watching the foundations crumble today, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to express the truth. There's some that do not want to hear the truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I'm finding that to be absolutely true. So what is truth? Jesus said very definitively and very carefully, "Thy word is truth," John 17:17. And that's exactly what we need to look to, is the truth of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start the monologue, the dialogue, the discussion today with simply reading a blurb or two from three or four articles to set the pace of what I believe is perhaps one of the most important issues that our nation has faced in my lifetime. And I say that very definitively and very directly. Tucker Carlson, for example, said, "Immigrants have got to like us back." And he goes further in saying, "Representative Ilhan Omar's criticism of America is a symptom of a deeper problem the nation must address to avoid falling apart." Omar said Fox News is giving a nightly platform to white supremacist rhetoric. She says it's dangerous. If you say anything about her and her policies and her politics, all of a sudden you're racist or you're white supremacist. She went further, declaring that advertisers should not be underwriting hate speech, talking about Tucker Carlson's program on Fox. Carlson added, "It was America that rescued Ilhan Omar from a single worst place on earth," referring to Somalia. He says, we didn't do it to get rich. In fact, it cost us money. We did it because we're kind people, he said. How did Omar respond to the remarkable gift we gave her? She's scolded us and called us names. She showered us with contempt. It's infuriating, Carlson says. Further in this article, speaking of Tucker Carlson, "United States admits immigrants more than any other country on the earth, more than 1 million a year. The Democratic Party demands that we increase that number and admit far more. Okay, Americans like immigrants, but immigrants have to like us back. That's the key. It's essential. Otherwise, our country will fall apart. Here's an article that says, Muslim complaint over pastor's speech dismissed. A pastor who argued against a plan of Muslim organization to buy property in Pennsylvania won his free speech lawsuit. The Thomas More Law Center said a federal judge has dismissed a claim against Pastor Bruce Lundy, a Zionist evangelical Lutheran church in North Huntington, Pennsylvania. The pastor's the president of the Pittsburgh chapter of ACTS, A-C-T, Act for America. He was sued by the Islamic organization, HIRA, Educational Services of North America, for opposing the plan. HIRA does consulting for Islamic schools and organizations. Richard Thompson, president of the Thomas More Society, said, "We applaud the steadfast courage and fortitude of the 74-year-old pastor who stood his ground against the intimidating tactics of Islam and its baseless lawsuit." During a public meeting prior to the sale, the pastor expressed his opposition to the sale over concerns that the property might be used for refugee settlement, resettlement camps by Islam. And it goes further in the article. The consulting company sued the pastor, even though his statements had nothing to do with the sale falling through with the state of Pennsylvania. Here's another article. Journalists go to jail for offending Muslims. A journalist has been sentenced by a court in Kuwait for 3 years in jail because of his Twitter message, they said, offended Muslims. Here's an article that says, evangelical leader launches campaign to unseat anti-Semitic Muslim congresswoman. The president of an evangelical group called Proclaiming Justice to the Nations has launched a nationwide campaign to demand the immediate resignation of Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, for her recent anti-Semitic tirades. This article says, Ilhan Omar is waging an unholy war against the Jewish people from Congress. She goes further, this article says, she is about to learn that the Jewish people don't stand alone. Millions of people of faith and conscience stand with the Jewish people. We will neither sleep nor slumber as she uses the heart of American democracy and freedom to defame God's chosen people and his chosen land. Ilhan Omar tricked her electorate into voting for her by lying about her support for Israel. She supports the destruction of the state of Israel and is a virulent anti-Semite with close connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. As American patriots and people of faith, we cannot afford to stand by as she continues to sow religious hatred. In fact, Vice President Pence calls for the removal of Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Vice President Mike Pence on Friday renewed his call for the Democratic leader to strip freshman Ilhan Omar of her seat in the House Foreign Relations Committee. I could go on and on and on. Suffice it to say, by way of simply introducing the subject today with article after article, that is pointing out the systemic problem that we're finding in American legal system today, in the halls of Congress today. But as I said on the broadcast previously, you just let a camel get his nose in the tent, and it's not but a matter of moment for the camel is in the tent. Yes, the camel's nose today is already, ladies and gentlemen, in the tent. We need to stop the camel if we're going to save America. And the camel I'm speaking of is the Mad Squad, the Mad Squad. It is the introduction of Islamic Sharia law in the U.S. House of Representatives. That is the moving force behind what is taking place with the four on the Mad Squad, or the Mad Squad, as I have called it. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the dangers of that. And by the way, but lest I forget it, you can dial, telephone number is 813-0917, 813-0917. Your telephone call goes straight through to the radio station and right to our switchboard and right to our microphones that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in 2018, there were about 100 Islamics that ran for public office, city, county, and state on a national level. Multitudes won their seats, and they're in position today of leadership, making policy and procedure, and making the laws for the United States of America and many cities and counties across our nation today. They're involved in the political system. Back in 2006, on the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations website for the state of Florida. The individual that was running that at the time, headquartered out of Tampa, Florida, had on the website, acknowledging and pointing to all Muslims, said, you need to get into political office, run for dog catcher, if nothing else, to start the process of being one that is elected in public office to be able to make policy. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that come to fruition today, and it's happening across America. They tell me that in the 2020 campaign, 2020 election cycle, that we'll have 100-plus Islamic candidates running for political election. So why is this important? Because today, ladies and gentlemen, we see what's happening with the Mad Squad that's in control. It's the four that's in the U.S. House of Representatives that's involved in the making of policy and procedures for the United States of America. You say, who are these four? Who are these four individuals? They're all four women, ladies and gentlemen, and Nancy Pelosi is not heading the House. She's not leadership. You have Representative Ilhan Omar. You have Rashid Tlaib. You have Alexander Ocasio-Cortez. You have Alana Presley. And ladies and gentlemen, these people, if you look at their biographicals in the background, they're dangerous people. And out of all of them, perhaps the two that are the Islamics, major Islamic voices in America today, one of them was able to persuade Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives to allow a head covering by the Islamics while on the floor doing business for the Americans on the U.S. House of Representatives to make decisions for our nation. And that's went to get, goes against the policy they've had since the mid-1800s, where it was not allowed. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll go back to the premise in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So I'm screaming from the top of the mountainside. I am yelling with a deep throat, loud voice, that as Christians, we need to be concerned. I'm a little bit weary with this stuff from coming from Christians, Christian pastors, and many Christians in the pews, if you will, that will say we don't need this kind of rhetoric. We don't need this kind of conversation or radio broadcast, or that it's not necessary because all we need to do is let God do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God has chosen, we the people, God has chosen his creation that, first of all, we reproduce and have children and we'll lead them to faith in Jesus Christ that will honor God and that will serve him. We have another responsibility as citizens in the nation, and that is to be responsible citizens, to recognize that God is the creator of government, and as government, the responsibility of government is to prosecute evil and protect good. And we need to, as Christian citizens of the United States of America, recognize our responsibility and standing up and speaking up and being salt and light as the Lord Jesus has directed that we should be. I'm concerned over the direction that we're now going in the United States of America. And as I said a moment ago, may I reiterate that it appears very clearly that Nancy Pelosi is no longer in charge as the leader of the House. And yet, at the same time, she's not willing to surrender to the gavel. At the same time, she's allowing these four renegade Congresswomen, the Mad Squad, she's allowing them to make the decisions that ought to be made by others in the U.S. House of Representatives. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Judge, colon, Muslims murder of Jew is not a hate crime. Now, yes, it's not in America. It is in Britain. But let me just read it to you because this is where we're headed in America. And if these things are taking place in America now, and the fake news is not covering many of them, and I'm familiar with them, have documents on them. This article says, a Muslim man with a history of anti-Semitism allegedly recited the verse from the Quran, a verse from the Quran, as he beat a Jewish woman and yelled, Allah Akbar. By the way, Allah Akbar does not mean God is great. It means that Allah, that is, Allah, is greatest of all gods. That is what they're saying when they say Allah Akbar, as he threw her to death from a third-story window in Paris. But a French judge ruled that he, that is the murderer, probably was not responsible for his actions because he smoked cannabis before the attack. Therefore, he shouted, I've killed the devil after murdering a 65-year-old woman, Jewish woman, by throwing her over the balcony in her apartment on April the 3rd, 2017. It's just come to trial, and the judge threw it out, said that he wasn't responsible. She dismissed the fact that it was a hate crime. She dismissed the fact that it was Islamic murder of a Jewish person, just said it was because of pot, smoking pot, that caused him to do it. Well, that might have been the promulgating cause, but the deeper cause was based on the Quran, and the Quran is very, very clear. That is the Jewish Bible, as they call it, the Jewish holy book, I'm sorry, the Islamic holy book, as they call it. And as a result of that, there's some kind of a mindset that they have the right to do so because they're going by what the Quran says. Well, you try committing murder as a Christian, saying, well, God told me to, and here's the verse, though you couldn't find one. Somehow, some way, there'd be the mindset that we need to put you out of this old world. And yet, we're finding that taking place in the Islamic jihadist movement today. May I remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, the demographers are very, very clear that by 2050, we'll be living in an Islamic-controlled nation. I don't know about you, but I don't want my grandkids and my kids to be in an Islamically-controlled nation. May I remind us, we're already on the fast track for that. So how will they accomplish this? What will they do? And I touched on this in yesterday's broadcast, but I think it needs some more clarification. And then I'm going to move directly to the Quran and what the Quran says so that you will understand that what I'm saying is not just rhetoric. What I'm saying is not just hype. What I'm saying is not just a scare tactic by any stretch of the imagination. What I'm trying to get our listeners to understand, our Christian listeners, those that are teaching Sunday school, Bible studies, those that are deacons in our churches, those that are pastors, preachers, leaders, spiritual leaders, I'm trying to get us to sit up, wake up, smell the coffee and understand what's taking place in the U.S. House of Representatives and in Washington, D.C., that's destroying our fundamental foundations of our nation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous, what are the Christians, what are the conservatives to do in our nation? If we have no foundation, ladies and gentlemen, we have no nation. But the terrorist jihadists, the Islamic jihadists, are carrying out jihad in several fashions. Educational jihad. And I touched on that. Let me just repeat it briefly today. Educational jihad is where they're teaching our children in our publicly controlled, our governmentally controlled, taxpayer-funded educational systems, where they allow the Islamic students to pray, then get up, walk out of the classroom at instructional time, go down the hall to a prepared prayer room with prayer rugs provided by the taxpayers that they can pray. The textbooks are focusing on Islam, the disparaging of Judaism and Christianity. They're implementing educational jihad across the nation through our educational system, through the governmentally controlled systems. And I can go into great, great detail on that subject. My lectures on the subject of Islam and its invasion in America and the Western Hemisphere, I touch on it in depth because the educational jihad is a primary, major facet of what they're doing today. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about their plans to control the United States of America. This article says, convert their kids and their families will follow. And Islam says we can demonstrate it here and then scale it up to the rest of the country. Islam Muslims in Belgrade, Florida, say that they're planning on acquiring a public school in order to educate children as young as 6 weeks old, and they're educating them in the Quran. And it goes on to talk about in depth how they plan on using that to control the United States of America. Listen, it's not just one approach in their jihad. It's not just one element. It's not just having the Mad Squad in Washington that is now the controller of the U.S. House of Representatives. It is across the nation, in pieces across our nation, their educational jihad. And then sex jihad. That sex jihad is where the Muslims are producing about 8.9 children per family, whereas Americans are doing about 2.3. Europe is about 1.3. This is the reason today Europeans are dying, and all of France, a lot of Germany, and most of the European countries today are controlled by Islam. It's because of the sex jihad that is taking place, where they will outpopulate the citizens of whatever country they go into. There's the silent jihad. Just sit silent, waiting until the numbers reach 2 to 6%. You've heard me say before, and let me repeat at the risk of redundancy, ladies and gentlemen, any group as the jihadists, the Islamics, the Muslims, when they get to 2 to 4% in any nation, they rise up and demand absolute total control. In fact, in any nation where Islam has come into the country, there's no such thing as freedom of religion, no freedom of speech, no freedom of thought. There's no freedom of artistic expression. There's no freedom of the press. There's no equality of people. No non-Muslims will ever be equal to a Muslim in an Islamic-controlled nation. There's no equal protection under Sharia law for the different classes of people. There's no equal rights for women. Women can be beaten, and they claim that it's based on the right, and it is in the Quran. They then claim that it's right, that they have the authority to do so, and so they're generally released with no prosecutorial prosecution going forward as a result of it. So we're talking about the silent jihad. They wait and they embed themselves. They've done that now for the past 10, 15, 20 years in the United States of America. We have the state of Michigan today, the state of Minnesota, and other states in lesser degrees, where it's almost populated and the districts controlled by Islam. And this is the reason we're finding Islamics being elected and going to the House and the Senate that's inculcating Sharia law into the American judicial system. Then there's the political jihad, where you're electing more and more Islamics to go into the places of leadership and make happen what they're demanding to take place in our system of government in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, that peaceful jihad, silent jihad is just waiting until the opportune time for them to rise up, stand up, and force the issue to be in control of our nation. Here's an article that says school buses, bosses forcing Islamic indoctrination. And they are forcing it in our schools, ladies and gentlemen, through the educational system. They are promulgating jihad through the educational process, through the sexual jihad, through the political jihad, through the silent jihad, the peaceful jihad. And then ultimately it comes to what is called open jihad, that is warring jihad, where they literally will stand up and take control, as you see in Somalia, as you see in many other parts across Africa, as you see in many nations around the globe, where especially during Ramadan, supposed to be the month of prayer and introspection, and more murders and more terrorist acts takes place during that month than any other time of the year around the globe. And it's coming from the so-called tolerance of Islamics. And they're the most intolerant, unholy, ungodly, demonic group of people on the face of God's green earth. And some say, well, I just don't believe you're that dogmatic about it. Well, you've not known me very long then. Let me just simply say this. As we look at what is taking place across America, we need to understand there's a problem in relationship to what these four in the Mad Squad are doing. In fact, here's an article that says, and it's just over the past 24 hours, Trump slams progressive congresswomen at the fiery MAGA rally in North Carolina. President Donald Trump, in a fiery Make America Great Again campaign Wednesday night in Greenville, North Carolina, blasted the four progressive congresswomen, Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, Alexander Ocasio-Cortez, and Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. Let them leave, President Trump says. They're always telling us how to run it, how to do it, and what it should be. You know what? If they don't love it, tell them to leave, Trump said of the congresswomen. Trump slammed Omar Wednesday, saying she smeared the U.S. service members in Black Hawk down. She slammed the brave Americans trying to keep peace in Somalia, a dig at her Somalian American heritage, the article here says. President Trump said Omar blamed America for the economic crisis in Venezuela and refused to condemn al-Qaeda. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place, and I want us to understand, as I build to the point of pointing out what is taking place, it is based on the authority that they find in the Quran. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a very simplistic thing. It is a very dangerous, dangerous thing that they are weaponizing and carrying out in the United States of America. Here's an article from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. He says, U.S. Representative-elect Representative Ilhan Rashid Tlaib will make history. He goes on to talk about when she raises her hand, she did so not on a Bible, but on a Quran to be sworn in. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand that oxymoron, you stand and you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and your hand is on a Quran, that is absolutely deceitful. It is demonic lying. You are swearing before Allah in your mind that you're going to uphold what is said in the Quran and not what is said based on the authority of the Word of God or our Constitution or anything that is called the United States of America and jurisprudence system. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder where the Quran teaches and what the Quran says in relationship to what they're doing, let me just share with you directly from the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran, by the way, is the only Quran that is recognized as authoritative by any Islamic, Arabic person of academia. And I'm reading from page 228 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? And I'm directly quoting surah after surah in that. The premise of that, the prerequisite of that, says, followers of Islam have a mandate to fight until Islam is the only religion. Islam believes that they are to dominate the world during the 21st century. Tolerance toward a non-Muslim is tantamount to sin, according to the Quran. The conversion of the entire global population to Islam and the complete extension of every other form of religion is the ultimate goal of an Islamic world. Surah, S-U-R-A-H, or it sometimes is spelled S-U-R-A, simply is talking about verses, as we call them in the Bible. Surah 3:19, truly the religion of Allah is Islam. Whoever disbelieves, Allah will judge them. Surah 3:85, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. Surah 4:56, those who disbelieve in Islam shall burn, we shall burn them in fire. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if the infidel is allowed to exist in the community, state, or nation, it's only necessary as an evil and for only a transitional period of time allowed by Islam if they're in control. Political, social, and financial burdens of the Islamics in allowing that, they're simply waiting. It is going back to the silent jihad or the waiting period before they rise up. And then they will ultimately impose Sharia law on them. Here's on Surah 2, 6 and 7. Verily, those who disbelieve, that's all non-Muslims, it is the same to them whether you warn them or do them harm. They will not believe. Allah has set a seal on their hearts and on their hearing and on their eyes. There is covering. Theirs will be a great torment from Allah. Surah 2:86 and 3:147. Islam is saying, give us victory over the disbelievers, non-Muslim people everywhere. Surah 3:28. Let not the believers, that's Islamics, take any non-Muslim for their friends in the presence of other Muslims or other believers, as the Quran calls it. Surah 3:32. Allah does not like the disbelievers, that's non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on reading from the Noble Quran in relationship to what they say and what they're doing is based upon their belief and their wholehearted embracing of the Quran. Now, the Quran is a demonic book. But ladies and gentlemen, just recently on Facebook, I understand, I'm not a Facebook person, but I understand by some that are, that recently they've started advertisements on Facebook for a local mosque here in the city of Jacksonville, where they're talking about you can come in and learn the Quran, and they say in their diatribe on Facebook that the Quran is the only book that's never been changed, it's always been the same, and that's a diabolical, demonic lie. After Muhammad's death, they'd bring in the caliph, that is what we'd call in Roman Catholicism today the pope. They'd bring in a new pope, i.e. a caliph. And under the caliph system, when a new caliph would come in, they would recall all of the Qurans that had been printed and put out. They'd bring them back in, and the new caliph supposedly would hear from Allah. They would write their new sayings and new findings, and it would become part of the new Quran. And it would be republished. And that was done many, many, many times. In fact, out of the present about 3,000 surahs in the present Noble Quran, there's actually been over the past 1,400 years about 35,000 surahs that's narrowed down to about 3,000 in the present Noble Quran that's in publication, which is the most authentic in the Islamic world today. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't you tell me that the Quran is authentic. Don't you tell me that the Quran is words just like the words from the Holy Bible that we submit to as Christians. So what a Quranic believer says, those that believe in the Quran, what they're saying and what they're doing is simply following what the Quran says to them and what they believe that they ought to do to be an ardent adherent to what the Quran is teaching. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, in relationship to that, it was found in 2006, the study of what caused the 9/11 event. And here's a section on page 36 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? The Quran in the Pentagon. In a news article from WorldNet Daily dated September the 27th, 2006, the Pentagon asked intelligent analysts to pinpoint what's driving Muslim after Muslim after Muslim to do the unthinkable. Their finding is politically explosive. It's their holy book, the Quran, the Pentagon said. The Pentagon's intelligence and analysts reached the conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are, in fact, students of the Quran, and what the Quran says, they're simply carrying it out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a danger that's beyond the understanding of the Western mind. Many Christians today and many conservatives today and many moderates today in America seem to be totally ignorant of what the Islamic Quran actually teaches and what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just in the closing about minute and a half that we have, I'm holding in my hand the Noble Quran, as it is called. I'm going to the back of the book, the back of the Quran, the last 24, 25 pages in the Quran, literally eviscerates the Christian Bible and the Christian theology. Time won't allow me to go into all of the pages, but simply here's one that is talking about that very clearly, demeaning Jesus. And the here in the Quran, they recite John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then the footnote is, says in these verses, Jesus himself has testified that Allah is the only God. There's none other than him. And whoever believes in his oneness, he is near the kingdom of Allah. Therefore, whoever associates partners with Allah or believes in the Trinity is far away from the kingdom of Allah. And whoever is far away from the kingdom of Allah, Allah is the enemy of that person. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Islam denies the Trinity. Islam denies Jesus' deity. Islam denies the crucifixion of Christ. Islam demeans the Holy Bible. Islam hates Christians. Islam is a demonic religion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.